ever tried, ever failed, no matter, try again, fail again, fail better. How can one possibly do better if one does not accept and understand one's failures? Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of The Same Old Wombles. We are brought to you by some of us who helped with others to put together Yellow and Blue back in the day. We're by the fans, for the fans, now and forever. Same Old Wombles is non-affiliated and proudly unofficial. My name is Mark Lewis, and I was very proud indeed to read this statement last week. This is Wimbledon Football Club. You're coming to play for us, and that has to mean something. It means you have to win at all costs. We don't want to walk around and have everyone telling us we have a nice stadium. We want to beat them and send them home. That was Andy Thorne, by the way, if anyone's not read that, our new chief scout and former brick, what's it, outhouse centre-back from the 1980s and 1990s. Tonight's panel features Adam Proctor, Matthew Cooper, and on his way back from the European jet setting, Niall Cooper. On tonight's show, I guess we have to talk about the debacle of the Swindon game. This afternoon, we're recording Monday night. This afternoon's been a statement by the PLC, which I'm sure all the panellists will have an opinion about. I'd like to celebrate briefly AFC Wimbledon's women as they prepare for their final game of the season, final two games of the season, and a quick review of our players of the season, with, of course, some numbers to finish off. Welcome to episode 35.
All I want to do is watch football. All I want to do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them.
Hey, Mark. I'm liking the, try again, fail again, fail better again. I'm just wondering how many times we can keep that going. I mean, is that just got infinitum? Try again, fail again, try again, fail again, try again, fail again. It's like Niall's train journey. It's that sort of train track sign of noise that I'm really excited about. You know, and I have to say, you know, I don't think we should talk that much about the game on Saturday because it was the most appalling, abysmal thing I have ever seen, ever. It was just so... And... it was the first time I can remember, even in the, you know, even with Mark Robinson, it's the first time I ever remember all the fans singing "We Want Jackson Out." I've never heard them go for a manager like that before. And so with the statement that's come out today, I find it really difficult for them to say, we're going to carry on like this. And then to say, we acknowledge that you can vent your frustrations, but now he's got to win us over again. And I just don't see that he's got any interest in engaging with the fans. That's my problem with JJ. For me, it just doesn't, there's no apology. I'm really sorry that this performance has been so awful. You know, we're working as hard as we can. I'd just like to apologise for the fans for that. It was just, there's no apology there. And it just doesn't seem to be, wants to be any connection to us as supporters. Sorry, you've caught me on a bad day. I've had a day angry. And I just, and I don't think that statement went far enough.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I guess, well, let's start from the beginning. The fail, whatever thing, that's, yeah, I thought that was quite fun. I mean, when I write assessments for students, one of the things I make sure is that the failure is built into the assessment. You can be rewarded for failing, but of course in football, you can't be rewarded for failing. So we do need to learn from the mistakes we make. Obviously, everyone makes mistakes. I have a different opinion. I thought the club statement was good. I think it puts all the pieces in place. But I have to say, I mean, I've been to lots of games like all of us here. I've never been in a game where the vast majority of people around me were calling for JJ to be out, you know. And that was, I found that a bit shocking actually, because I was just like, crumbs, you know. And then obviously, yeah, I mean, the statement backs the situation, which I think is fair does it go far enough as a club statement? I think it does. Has JJ said enough? Have the players said enough? Possibly not, but I don't know. He's been a bit of a, I think I said in one of the podcasts before, I mean, I've been sort of a bit like, meh, you know, nothing. He's not, like, Robinson got me excited at various points because he had this kind of ethos and I was kind of getting into that. And of course, then it didn't quite work out for different reasons. So I guess he's never kind of, JJ's never, I've never kind of got who he is. And I think that's a big thing with us. You know, you want to get who they are and get behind them and whether they're making mistakes and that, you know, at least you can see the passion. I know a few people sort of mentioned on the, was it the fourth goal, which was the most, which got me rather annoyed. The people were saying there was no reaction from JJ for letting in the fourth goal. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I kind of think if that was me at that point in the season and that happened, I'd have just stormed off down the tunnel and then said, like, you know, it's the players. They need to sort this out. And, you know, I don't know. That may have been a worse thing to do. I don't know. I mean, I've never been a football manager. But I would have liked, you know, I don't know. It's, I think from a pragmatic point of view, what the club has said is that we've put in place this person. We've got the kind of manager that we wanted to get. We've put in place Craig. We've put in place the new scout. We've got a bunch of things that we've rejigged in the PLC. You know, if we were to pull out one of those plugs at this point, it's going to be worse in all kinds of ways because you're not going to get someone who just fits into that mold. And there is a line in the statement that talks about the fact that they've had, you know, there's loads of stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't see. And the conversations must be, you know, maybe JJ can talk great talk, you know, and maybe he's not so good at the management stuff. I don't know. But there's obviously some conversations that are happening that seem to suggest more confidence in a slightly longer term picture. And we have, you know, and when the stat of like, what is it, 57% of the teams that are at the top, they've got 80%+ of their players throughout the season. For us, in terms of injury, it's down to like 57 or something ridiculous. It's really, really low when you think about players. And I mean, but what was I disappointed about on Saturday? I mean, the thing that worried me was that I looked at that squad, even though I had the weird one up front thing, and thought, that's probably pretty good of who we can pick from. You know, I was like, I was quite, you know, Huss is there, a bunch of our players that I like, and thought, that's a pretty good squad. And it didn't translate to anything useful. So that's a bit, I'm like, hang on a minute, what does that say?
And there, Adam, is the thing, right? I mean, like, you know, JJ's now got these people at his disposal and he didn't inspire them. And I think this is petty on my part, but the point being that if he wants to be part of the process and he wants to stay and he's excited about the options, I heard a rumour he went for the Oxford job. Okay, so...
But none of us know that, and that's just another bit of internet chat. It may be right, it may be true, yeah, maybe not.
So come out and say you didn't. I mean, I just...
This is the problem you've got. Like, I'm not defending anyone, not defending JJ, but at all, because he doesn't deserve to be defended, frankly, on the recent results. No manager with that set of results would. But if you commented on every little bit of tittle-tattle, then what do you do? You know, then basically you're hostage to fortune. You're hostage to... I mean, you know, you got people on the internet and on Twitter calling out individual players using foul and abusive language and basically wanting to confront them. Now, everyone's entitled and frustrated to express themselves however they wish to. I don't see that that's necessarily particularly constructive. But I read the statement as, and this is just me personal opinion as a fan, I read the statement as, they've considered the situation, the PLC has. They would have had a board meeting recently, within the last week, because they have one every month. They then obviously would have seen the game on Saturday, and they haven't made a knee-jerk statement or knee-jerk reaction. So whether they've met again since then, I don't know. And then I would have hoped that they would have spoken to Jackson as well, to actually understand where his head's at, so to speak. Because the difference between all the jobs that we all do in normal private sector and a football manager is the football manager is judged every single week for every single achievement or lack of achievement in terms of results. So we weren't in a great place beforehand, and then we got thumped. We got thumped, not, as Adam says, because he fielded the wrong team, because he by and large fielded a sensible progressive team, although you can argue should he have put Biller back in because Gunter had a reasonably solid game at Stevenage, for example. But he put a player back in who's played well for us, and some people might end up voting, you know, his young player of the year or whatever. The guy had a stinker. He had an absolute stinker as far as I'm concerned, and apparently the mascot voted him for man of the match, and he was very embarrassed and shamefaced when he was taken along for the man of the match presentation because he clearly didn't want to be there. I don't suppose any player would have wanted to be there, so to speak. But at least he had the cojones to front up. But yeah, the players were the right players based on the squad that we've got. Did they play horrendously? Yes. Were some of the goals completely obvious to be able to see? Yes. Have we conceded some of those goals in similar fashions in previous games through this season at home that we've seen? Yes, we have. The last one you can lay at the door of the manager and the coaching team. The rest of them, if the players should be good enough, then why aren't they performing? You know, Jackson doesn't tell Zanef to kick the ball straight to the centre forward so he can pass the ball back into him. Zanef doesn't tell Biller to not challenge the forward. I mean, the first goal wasn't even a dive. The guy just stumbled over. Wasn't even a penalty. Wasn't even close to being a penalty, and they didn't even appeal for it. What's concerning for me, and I don't want to dwell on the game, as you guys said, is as soon as we let in one goal, we completely capitulate. And that shouldn't happen, any. That shouldn't happen at under 11 level, with the greatest respect to under 11 teams.
And I'm sorry, Mark. I hate seeing managers come and go. I hate this industry that we're in now where in the Premier League, God knows what is it, almost 75% of managers have changed. And I think it's 50, might even be 50% across the whole league. I completely get that is wrong. Okay. But there are some times where you just don't feel like someone's a fit for your club. You know, there are certain people, they fit in certain clubs, they fit in an environment, they fit in a certain thing. And I think the thing for us and because of who we are and what we're about, being a fan-owned club, there has to be a connection between the manager and the fans. And for the small time that Mark Bowen was the manager, for those last few games last season, I felt like there was a connection. It felt like he got it. I remember him being in amongst the supporters after the games. For me, JJ just feels aloof and it just feels like he doesn't care. That is the sense that I'm getting. I'm sure he is hurting, you know, but I'm wondering if he's hurting for selfish reasons or he's hurting because we're hurting. You know, this is an appalling run, and I don't know if you can excuse it, really, because I mean, there's got to have been other games where he could have just changed things around, got to look at who his squad is, look at who he's playing, and set up differently, or given some sort of speech at halftime, because there were so many games in that run where after halftime it's just fallen to bits, and they're making substitutions at 85 minutes, you know, so. So it's very difficult for me to be in this position. And I know that he won, you know, manager of the month. Okay. I know that. Hardly won manager of the month. You know, other people have won manager of the month. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what do we do? And I realized the squad was decimated in January, but we did get people in like Al Hamadi, and we have had other people in. But I just want him to show some care and some connection to the fans, and that is what I'm not.
No, I think we agree on that. Actually, you know, that's why I said before I thought it was a bit like, you know, whatever. And I think you're right that we do need all of the people involved with the club to show that care and passion that makes Wimbledon special. You know, that's the thing that keeps us going, etc. And I don't think we've seen that from JJ at all, which is what does worry me, because I think we need a manager who's out there, you know, and it's different, you know. It's not about the game. It's about the whole thing. It's about the club. It's etc. And so, I guess there's a couple of things for me that I totally agree with that. I think I do agree with this club's position on this, because I think there's two games to go. We're not relegated. There is new things in place. If, however, the start of the pre-season and the start of the season doesn't go in favour, Jackson needs to be fired within two or three games. Because that will prove that the setup is completely wrong. Whether he then, you know, if the games on the pitch transform, I think we'd still be asking, we'd really like to see more of you. Like, let's see you speaking to the fans. You know, obviously we've got this fans forum coming up after the Grimsby game, I think, on the 2nd, which JJ is going to be at. So, you know, maybe, obviously I think that's an in-person thing only. So, you know, again, we might see, if you can get there, you'll see a bit more of his personality potentially. You know, I think, but yeah, in terms of like players and what they're doing, man, some of our players are making the most, I mean, I'm not good at football, right? But my word, some of these guys are making some of the worst basic errors possible. They were just, their positioning was dreadful. I mean, Zanef, like, he has a pretty bad reputation for kicking out anyway, in my mind. To not just, in that situation where it's clear that you're going to be under a bit of pressure, to not just push it right or left off the pitch, to try and actually put it forward when that's where the attackers are, seemed like insane choice. Like, I just don't understand it, you know. Obviously, I give Billa loads of, like, extra leeway for whatever he did wrong. And, like, the penalty, the first penalty, you know, I mean, it wasn't a penalty. You know, it was pretty obvious. He just fell over. And it's just like, what is going on? So, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. I just don't...
I mean, if they're making these... I blame the players to a degree, you know. But if they're making the same sort of mistakes time and time again...
Yeah, of course.
You're assuming that someone... And I'm guessing the staff at the club, the playing staff at the club, are saying something, are practicing those things, are you know, trying to work that way out. If they're making the same mistakes over and over again, are they not listening to the management team?
I mean, one of the other things that I thought was interesting that I saw, was that on Twitter or somewhere? Anyway, someone had posted a picture of Ali on the train. And of course, a few of us have bumped into various players on the train or whatever. But the comment was, Why are the players like all making their own way to the stadium on match day? Why are they not all together in the morning? You know, where's the team bonding sort of exercises? And I don't mean, maybe they do get to the stadium and they have something together. I don't really know. But again, it seemed to suggest that when the Ardley had a thing where he would get all the players in for a breakfast, you know, so he'd come in early, do, you know, and have some sort of kind of day of it. I mean, maybe that's, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like the fact that they're traveling on public transport and all that kind of good stuff, you know, but I'd rather they had like some sort of like exercise where they kind of, I mean, maybe what we could do, I was thinking, is that third floor they're going to develop. If we put a load of Z beds up there, you get the whole team there Friday night, have a party or, you know, obviously no alcohol. Next morning, get up, have like a nice little breakfast together, vegan, obviously, trot down to the pitch. Could be good.
It's not the world's worst idea. My understanding, and this is just what I've read in different places from Premiership clubs, is that Premiership clubs meet at a local hotel, even for home games, and then have a pre-match meal, and obviously then you've got a little bit of team get together and bonding. I'm not aware that we do that. I'm not aware that we've ever done that. I don't think that's anything to do with Jackson. Obviously the players for a club in London and South East will presumably live in different places. So you'll have some in Kent, you'll have some in, I don't know, North London, you'll have some South East London and so on and so forth, and you'll obviously have some a little bit closer. I doubt any of them live actually that close to Tooting or Wimbledon. But even so, yeah, the principle still applies. You could still meet somewhere relatively convenient for everybody. Is that a resource point of view? Is that a management style? I don't know. I think the reality is, and this isn't just to do with Jackson, this is consistent, unfortunately, over a number of years with the change in management through Bowen, through Robinson, through Hodges, through Wally, and so on and so forth. Because, generally speaking, we haven't won many games over that time period. Understandably, when you don't win games, you don't look for excuses, but you look for explanations. Why aren't we winning games? Is it player choice? Is it resources? Is it number of injuries? I mean, the stat that was mentioned, the 57%, I think that's 57% of the playing time that our players should have managed has actually been able to be physically made. So if someone's earning $2,000 a week, for sake of argument, and he's injured, then, you know, there's $2,000 a week sitting in the stand and so on and so forth. And obviously, at a bigger club, at a Premier League club, whatever, then they talk about that all the time. If you obviously with us, it's much more acute because we've only got two or three players in certain positions, or not many players in certain positions at all. So the reality is we don't have the stability of squad to choose from, and we don't have the stability of therefore, the 11 that start. I mean, I looked in the programme the other day, and only four players, I think, have played more than 30 games, started more than 30 games this season, and we're about to play our 45th game. So that's never a good sign overall.
No, I agree with all that. I mean, it's a mixture of things, isn't it? I mean, the other thing was, like, what did Curry come on the 93rd minute or something ridiculous on Saturday? That was just, again, that's bad management. Like, why would...
No, he's come on. That, I'll give him credit. He's come on because we had a player sent off.
Well, yeah, okay, he's changing the formation, so, but it's like...
He's come on to do that job. But, I mean, like, you know, it's... But that's an exception of getting something, you know, vaguely right.
Fair, okay.
I think hindsight is a beautiful thing. But if we were going to stick with a manager, and because we haven't, because we've chopped and changed so much, now it's sort of like almost part of the course if we're doing badly. And no one expected us to be in this position. No one expected us to be, and maybe even finishing third from bottom. No one expected that. So it just felt like if we were going to gamble on a manager, we'd have gambled on Mark Robinson. That for me, that was the person we should have gambled on. He came all the way through. He was, you know, and yeah, he had a crappy run, but he had a crappy run in a league above us. And who knows what would have happened at the end. We probably would have still got relegated. But then, I don't know, I just feel that he had a spirit or something about him that might have, you know, given us a push. But we're going to go into next season on a downer. We went into this season on a downer. We're going into the next season with a downer. And we're going with someone who I just feel needs to do a lot more to connect with the fans and the supporters and the ethos of the club. And I'm not getting that from Jackson. That's the problem that I have. So if we're gambling now on someone who majority of the crowd were calling for the head on Saturday, and he doesn't seem to have or want to have a connection with the supporters. So that's the problem that I have. I mean, yeah, we want a good manager, but that needs to be it's that thing. I mean,
I totally agree. I think you can forgive, like you say, we could forgive a manager if there was that. I think a lot more in this sense. I do just think it's pragmatic. The club's statement is pretty pragmatic in terms of cost, in terms of bedding in terms of stuff, and they are. They've laid their chips out and they obviously picked the direction of travel. That's what they want to do. It obviously has had impacted, you know, it's impacted for various reasons. They are laying those main impactful reasons on the transfer window and all that kind of stuff. And I guess they are hoping that their decisions, which is what it sort of says at the end, doesn't it? You know, what was the last line of the club statement? I'm going to have to look it up now because I thought that was quite interesting.
You'll dig it out now. The issue I think we've got is that the club are asking for patience and understanding from a crowd supporter base that has been extremely patient and extremely understanding for a prolonged period of time through the last two or three years, through a number of games, through a number of seasons, a number of managers, a number of squads where we have not performed to the standard that we as supporters want to perform. So therefore, understandably, whether you're mild-mannered janitor like Hong Kong Fui, or you're much more
angry like me.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a polite way of describing a toxic male person, but I couldn't really. If you're much more frustrated individual and you express that straightforward, down to earth, mild mannered janitor normally, and obviously he's really, you know, just losing the will to live, so to speak, which a lot of supporters have. And a lot of us are on different supporters WhatsApp groups, for example, and I've got loads of different information and loads of different comments over the last 6 hours with people disagreeing with each other on the same WhatsApp group. And then other people saying, well, you can't say that, and then someone else saying, well, you can say that because he's just a supporter expressing his opinion, just like we are on the same world. We all fundamentally agree on the direction of travel, but how you get there and the personnel you use to get there is another matter. You know, we want our team to fight in the appropriate way, that like just like that Andy Thorne quote that I used before. And we want to them to show drive and passion. And if they succeed, excellent. If they don't succeed, at least they can demonstrate that they've shown the drive and passion and commitment and verve and everything else. I guess the question I was going to ask you two is, the Fans Forum thing is next Tuesday, the day after the bank holiday. So it's the day after the, it's before the Grimsby game, actually, and it's after the Greenway game. So the question is, I don't know whether either of you are going to have a chance to get there. I'm going to try and get there. If you are there, or even if you're not there, because they are accepting questions in advance. If you're not there, then if you had the opportunity, because Jackson's going to be there, Craig Cope's going to be there. Likewise, Danny Macklin's going to be there. And also Mick Buckley as head of the chair of the PLC. What question would you guys ask? And of whom?
I think I'd ask all of them in the same question, which would be like, what, you know, we've had a terrible form, etc. We're in a really precarious situation. There's lots of disharmony between the fans. What are the metrics that you're going to use to measure success at the beginning of the next season? And can you spell those out so that we understand what measures you put in place to say, this is what we need to see by when? And if we don't see them, these are the kind of actions we're going to take. So to be really transparent about that and make it clear that if we don't win the first three games of the season or whatever it is, or we don't get the players we want, that people, be that JJ, Craig, Danny or whatever, will either step aside, you know, etc. So yeah, I'd be asking, like, tell me what your what do they call it, the things, the measures, you know, you're going to put in, there's some sort of stupid term, isn't there, when you're in business, but you know, so like, tell me what your measures are to show that we're succeeding, and I want to know what they are for the first like month of the season. That would be the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I'd agree with, I'd like that, Adam. I mean, I guess it puts a lot of pressure on the manager or whoever.
But they're going to have those things. They should have those things written down anyway. If they're not prepared to be transparent about it.
There should be something. I mean, if you're saying that, you know, we plan to finish in the top 10 and we finished 20th, and I think that's probably it. But you know, then do you put an asterisk next to it? It's like, so our plan is to finish in the top 10, asterisk. If we have a bad January, though, we can finish 20th. It doesn't matter. Do you know? It's just, that's the thing. And I guess for me, the question I would be asking is, after this horrendous run of form, what makes you think you're the best person to take the club forward? Our club forward. What makes you think you're the best person to take our club forward? That would be a question I'd like to know.
Simple question. And you know, with any managerial situation in any business, and obviously AFC Women is business, the question always has to be, is this individual, whatever role they have, is this individual part of an opportunity to become a solution to the issues on the table, or are they actually part of the problem?
Yeah,
fundamentally.
And there is, it's an interesting thing here. I'm just seeing that couple of lines, the last three lines in the statement that says, AFC Wimbledon have a proud record of standing together in adversity. This approach to sports has a long way improved our detractors wrong. We ask our supporters to carry that deep conviction into next season. So if I have a different opinion to the direction that the PLC are taking, if I'm not feeling that standing together on certain things, am I now an enemy of the PLC? Do you know, it just feels, it
no,
just like,
no, no, not at all. You just like going, an opinion.
I'm allowed to feel annoyed. I'm allowed to feel angry and frustrated here. But then we have to stand together in adversity. But I think fans have to be listened to a degree.
Yeah, I think I do think that last paragraph is a little bit problematic. You know, I hear what they're saying, but that paragraph is actually divisive in terms of where it positions you. You know, I'm, you know, because they didn't need to say that, actually. They could just say AFC Wimbledon has a proud record of standing together in adversity. That'd probably just be enough. But the that thing about this approach has brought us a long way and proved our detractors wrong. Those detractors are our fans at this point. No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. This is a statement about what's happening now. So that's why I didn't really... that's why I was... That last paragraph niggled me a little bit because I was like, you got to... You know, I mean, I don't know who wrote this, obviously, from the PLC board. I'm pretty confident that most PLC members, Jackson, etc., have had various media training, all that kind of stuff. So, but it's a little bit naughty, I think, in different ways. Anyway, the thing I was thinking about was KPIs. That was it. Because is it Richard, who's on the Don's Trust board, talks a lot about those knowledge performance indicators? Is it knowledge? Yeah. We have these different Ks in universities that are about knowledge. But yeah, so I would like to see them spell out key performance indicators for the very first start of the season that revolves around those people being in place and what will happen if they're not, you know.
I think in terms of a football manager, you can put metrics in place. You can analyse, and obviously none of us have done this. None of us, Don's Trust board members, do this because we're not running the football side of things day to day, as we know, and as we spell out on every week's podcast. But you can look at it and say, okay, so Leighton Orient are going to win this year's title in League Two. Now, yes, we don't want to necessarily believe we can jump from 18th, 19th, 20th right up to champions. But if the champions achieve, for sake of argument, 80 points over 46 games, what is that per game? Okay, if those that get in the playoffs achieve 75 points, 72 points, whatever the numbers are, over 46 games, what is that per game? And then you break that down and say, okay, so if it's 1.6, I'm just making out numbers now, if it's 1.6 points per game, then after 10 games, theoretically, you should be on 16 points to answer Matt's questions from earlier on. And if you're not, then why is that? And what explanation is there for that? And if there's no satisfactory explanation, then you should act appropriately.
Yeah. So I'm gonna throw the curveball in here because I think it's worth it, right? We are all pro fan ownership, as everyone knows who listens to this podcast. That is like our big thing for all of us, right? But I have seen again leveraged against us that this bad form relates to our ownership model and not to other things. And I just don't take that position at all. Don't think there's any credence in that position at all, because the only reason that position exists, from my point of view, and again, I'd love to hear what other people think, is that the only way we would have got out of this scenario would be to have tons of money in the January transfer window and have spent ridiculous amount of monies becoming completely unsustainable to ensure that, you know, we get like really expensive players, right? So we're not going to do that. Like, that's not going to happen. There's no Wrexham, you know, buddies looking to spend gazillions on us. Like, why would we even think that that is something to argue about?
Mr. Matthew Cooper is having to disappear and be a responsible father. Mr. Niall Cooper has failed to be on the train or failed to get a connection on the train. So Adam and I are going to carry on for the rest of the pod.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. Always a pleasure, my friend.
You do.
No numbers for you this week.
Now you've lost the sort of like the angry voice. So
thank you for the rant.
But Adam, fans are setting up is not the answer. I think we can be successful, a successful fan owned club. We can find that additional investment to do things. And I think the other thing would be useful to know is, can we just not afford to get rid of Johnny Jackson? Let's be honest, if that's the case. But still, on that bombshell, my friends.
Thank you, Matt.
I hope to get along next week. But take care and chin up, people.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, Matt.
And I think if you want to see something related to the start of being fan-owned, there's a wonderful play that will be happening in the stadium this summer that you can get tickets for.
Tickets are on sale. www.afansclub.co.uk. Get your tickets.
Book mine already. Thank you very much.
Bye, guys.
Right, we're going to carry on without Matt. And now we can change tack because we could talk about that all night. And we're not necessarily going to disagree too much. I think what is important is that everybody has the bandwidth to express themselves. I'd like a lot of people to come along to that meeting in person. I understand it is going to be recorded. I don't know who's recording. I don't know when it's going to go out. Presumably on club, on the club website or on official websites and so on as soon as possible. I do know that there is a facility to send questions in. If you're unable to attend the fans forum, please email your questions to fansforumafcw@gmail.com. The website release that was given about the fans forum next week. But I'm going to switch tack completely. I'm going to move our conversation about player of the season and young player of the season and so on to next week, so we can talk about that next week when we have hopefully more members of the team on board. I wanted to briefly just change the mood a little bit and give some praise and shout out to the women's team. We talked about the women's team a few times on the pod. They have two games left this season, and just to list a few of their achievements this season. It has been confirmed now that they can only finish second. Hashtag have won the league. So congratulations to hashtag United's women. They clinched the trophy yesterday. However, the AFC women's team have only lost one league game this season, and that was in August. They have the best defensive record in the whole league, and they finished. They reached the fourth round proper of the FA Cup, much higher than the men's team did. Beating two teams from higher tiers on the way. Their totem pole for the last couple of years has been Ashley Hinks up front. She unfortunately has got a long-term injury and has missed the last month or so of the season. But she's still in the running to win the Golden Boot, the top goal scorer in their league. And the reason I wanted to mention the ladies' team, really, it was just to highlight the last two games of the season they've got. On Wednesday coming up, that's the 26th of April, they're in the Capital Cup final against the Arsenal Academy. Amongst other people, they beat Fulham at Craven Cottage 3-1 in front of almost 4,000 fans to be able to get to that game. This game, this final game, has been played at the CB Hounslow United ground, close by to Hatton Cross Tube Station in West London on the way down to Heathrow. 7:45 kickoff. It's £5 entry for adults, but you do have to get your tickets in advance because it's a relatively restricted capacity, I understand. So go online to AFC Women and Women and you will be able to find those details. The other thing I wanted to flag up, we've already talked about the meeting that's happening next week, which is going to be the Fans Forum. There is a Don's Trust board, Don's Trust SGM, standard Don's Trust SGM on Sunday afternoon, happening after the last ladies' game. The last ladies' game of the season is this Sunday at Plough Lane. 2 p.m. kickoff against Norwich City. It's free entry for everyone to get in. So as many fans as you can get to come along, as they can get to come along, that would be absolutely fabulous. I believe 1,440 is their top attendance this year. So if they get more than that, then that would be fantastic. Any particular comments on the ladies now that I've praised them to the hilt, Mr. Adam?
I don't have any particular comments because I've not seen enough games. But I didn't realise they hadn't quite... I didn't know that the league had already sort of ended, so that's a shame. But, yeah, well done, hashtag United. Never mind. Yeah, I still think there's not enough. Yeah, the one-up, one-down thing is nonsense. But anyway, yeah, and also, yeah, if, I mean, if we can get more people there on the Sunday for a free game, I mean, you're likely to see a lot more goals than you've seen on any Saturday games. So that is always worth it. And then, so the SGM, is that following straight after the game? So if fans want to go straight into the SGM, they can just kind of go straight there?
That's right. There are three events going on Sunday. There's a ladies' game from 2 o'clock. Then immediately after that, from about 4:15, 4:30, the Don's Trust SGM special general meeting will be held in the Phoenix Pub. It's going to be open, therefore, obviously, straightforwardly post-match. And then there is the end of season dinner, which I know there are tickets still available for. I know some people are being able to attend that. The players, obviously, from both the women's team and from the men's team will be there, as well as club officials. But at the same time, anyone not attending that, then obviously they have the opportunity to come and ask questions to the Don's Trust board. And obviously asking about their interaction with the PLC board, should they wish to. There are some Don's Trust board meeting minutes going up online in the next few days, as far as I understand, from recent meetings that took place as well. So, obviously more than welcome to come down. The Don's Trust obviously are looking to make some changes to their overall rules and regulations, and they are relatively straightforward, simple things, including the fact that previously King's Meadow was in was listed in there in those documents, which obviously can't be anymore. But according to their own rules, the Don Trust can't do that unless a certain percentage of those people who are members actually vote. So I know they're looking for about 1,800 or so votes, and I know they're pretty close to being able to achieve that. So anyone who is a Don Trust board member who's listening to this, or Don Trust member, excuse me, Don Trust board members have already voted, obviously. Anyone who's a Don Trust member, please make sure that you have voted, because I know some reminders have been sent out. Check out Twitter as well. There's some updates on that on thedancetrust.org, or obviously at the Dance Trust on Twitter. Both websites and Twitter updates have the information on there, and you need to be able to actually vote in advance of the meeting. You can vote at the meeting if you haven't done so previously, but equally, if you're not able to attend the meeting, then it would be ideal to be able to make sure that you have put their vote in, which will enable very straightforward, simple things like the overall setup of the club to exist as it does. And it will also it also refers to the setup with regards to the Don's Trust. It's not any type of attempt to change anything dramatic and revolutionary. It's just enabling for better, more appropriate oversight from the Don's Trust board point of view, which is exactly where the board is actually looking to be, and allow the football professionals on the PLC that have made that statement today, as we've just been talking about, to obviously continue to be acting in a professional manner, and obviously the Don Trust board overseeing exactly what's going on there, and checks and balances, which is a sensible thing to do in any particular organisation.
Yeah, I know. I need to dig out the email that gives me the voting link, because I couldn't find it the other day.
So have you not voted yet, Mr. Adam Proctor?
Nope, not yet.
Come on. Vote now.
No, I will vote once.
And I
know the board has asked everyone to vote yes on the various things, and I'm pretty much in agreement with that. I just need to find the email that gives me the special link to do it. So yeah.
And if you can't find it, then email me and I will get someone.
Yeah, I saw that as well. And I know everyone got another letter saying, like, if you can't find that or you didn't think you got it, then you can reply and get it sent in. So that's good.
Absolutely.
The other thing I was going to ask really briefly on that is, I know that some people found the sound in the Phoenix quite difficult at one of the last meetings. Has there been any tweaks to figure out how to make at least the sound better in that space? Because I know that there was some echoes, it's quite an echoey space in general. I don't know whether they've done anything different with this, maybe the speaker positioning or whatever.
You're asking a technical IT question of someone who's not technical or IT.
No, it's fine. I just wondered. I just read somewhere that some people found it quite difficult to hear in that space. So it might be worth someone just double checking that the sound acoustics work really
100%,
well.
100%. I will add that to my list of 101 things to be able to mention on WhatsApp in the next 3 hours. Okay. Contact at thedancetrust.org is the place to be able to look. So actually, I think I might wrap it up there. It's only myself and Adam, unless there's anything else burning that you need to get off your chest this week relating.
No, there isn't. And I also...
Okay, then I will give you two numbers, because
I thought you were going to not give me numbers.
No. We'll definitely do numbers. Because one of these numbers has been mentioned on this week's pod already.
Oh, but it's fine if other people are here, because they can answer for me.
Okay. Your first number is number 36.
36. And that was that mentioned on today's podcast?
And this was mentioned earlier on in relation to whether or not managers in the EFL are in employment or not. That's quite a big clue.
What's if 36% get fired?
Not 36%.
Oh, 36 of them got let go this season?
Correct. 36 out of the 72 EFL managers this season, which is exactly 50%, have been fired to date.
Wow.
Up to this point. Exactly. Yeah. And that obviously is something else alongside everything else that's going on, which I'm sure is well front and centre in the mind of a number of fans who are thinking, well, hang on, the manager of Port Vale got fired, the manager of Walsall got fired in the last 10 days or so, but the manager of Wimbledon with similar records has not been fired. What's going on?
That was a churn, though, of people, wasn't it, Dominic?
The second number for you is number 47.
Okay, does it relate to minutes?
No, this is relating to what we don't do enough of. Unfortunately, these things happen against us, but we don't do enough of them. The same thing else, I'll give it away completely.
They happen against us. What is that? That's not the amount of penalties we've given away, surely.
Not penalties, no. But
free kicks, set pieces.
No, okay. When a penalty is given, what normally happens?
Someone gets a card.
No.
Someone gets injured.
What is the point of a penalty?
Try and score a goal.
Correct.
Oh, so we had 47 goals against us from penalties.
No, 47 goals for us.
Oh, okay.
We have scored 47 goals this season.
What, total?
In total, yes. We have 47 points, but we also have scored 47 goals.
Oh, okay. Man.
So here's a question for you. In the last 5 seasons, how many times have we scored more than 47 out of 5?
Okay, so we definitely had 3.
You can't have the COVID season, so I'll give you out of 4, actually, because in the COVID season, we scored fewer than 47 or even 35 games. So.
Yeah.
So 2021, back to 2017, 2018.
I don't think we'd have got many because we had a pretty bad run for a number of years. So I'm guessing maybe one other season.
So last season we scored 49. Season score before, 55.
Wow, okay.
The COVID season, 39. 2018, 2019, 42. And 2017, 2018, 47. So only twice, actually. Fingers crossed we would score more goals in the next 2 games. But if we end up scoring 50 or more, then that will be the second top season in terms of numbers of goals scored. Which does actually show something, but doesn't show necessarily that we're able to properly game manage our each fixture properly.
No, and that's not the seasons I was thinking where we'd have more goals. I was thinking it would be early on. I think we were kind of on a proper downward.
Yeah, the 55 season, I think, was the one where Pickett scored 20, and he's the first one to score 20. But at the moment, we have no goal scorer who scored, no individual player who scored more than 10 goals in the league.
What's Ali got now, though?
Ali's got 9. Chisler's got 9. Davison's got 9.
Come on.
That was the third numbers. That was going to be Niall's numbers too.
That's an incentive for those players for the last 2 games of the season. You'd
hope so. I don't know that Davison will be back. I was at the ground on Friday. I saw Davison and Pierce doing some fitness training. They didn't necessarily look like they were pulling up trees. But, you know, Pearson was back. Pell was back for the second half. Didn't really necessarily achieve much. But, you know, you'd hope there's a better option, a more attacking option. Anyway, there will be loads discussed online. There will be loads of opportunities both at the game and then immediately, shortly afterwards, the Don's Trust SGM. And then immediately after that at the fans forum as well for fans to be able to vent their spleen, so to speak. We've been the same old one was episode 35. You can find us on Twitter. Feel free to tweet loads of information out about the voting necessity for the Don's Trust, please, Mr. Adam Proctor. Thank you for your time this evening. Thank you to Matt for joining us. And Niall did genuinely join us, but not in any way on a strong enough internet connection to actually say anything, which might be a blessing, depending on your point of view. So, yes, sameoldwombles.com is the website. And, of course, you can find us on Spotify. We will be back for 2 more episodes now. We've got one over the bank holiday and then the final one following the Grimsby game at the end of the season. 2 bank holidays in a row. Thank you to Adam again, and good night.